gentlemen, welcome back to another week of Barstool Backstage. Great interview this week with Red Clay Strays, one of the biggest rising Americana bands in the world. These guys were huge. They got snubbed at the CMAs this year. Literally one of the bands that I always see, like, our hard O fans being like, get the Red Clay Strays on, stop with the fucking pop country bullshit. We got the Red Clay Strays on. Shut up. We did it. huge band. They had a huge year this year. They put up their Spotify rap stats, which, of course, today is Spotify rap day. Huge day in the industry, huge day for everybody to stunt, huge day for people to see how little they've accomplished, and a huge day to see how shitty your taste in music is, which I'm going to say this. My Spotify rap this year, for my own personal taste, was horrible. I have problems, and we're going to talk about it. But we can't start with anything other than White Sox Dave. White Sox Dave in Turkey, getting a hair transplant. He went all the way to Turkey to realize how goddamn handsome he is without hair. Dude, did you see pictures of Dave?
Yeah, we said this to him like a year ago. Just shave your head. See how it looks. Like, some people, I get it. You don't look good with a shaved head.
Gorgeous.
It's funny because it also looks like he lost weight in that ice cream video he posted. I'm like, Dave, you're looking fucking jacked, bro.
Yeah, Dave looks like a side character in Train Spotting or something like that. He got real skinny and went bald. Dude. Dave is a handsome bastard. I don't care what Dave says about Dave. I don't care what anybody says about Dave. Dave is handsome. And what it does make me happy for him is he can just like he can just go to a one now and have like the stubble hair and a big beard. He's got beautiful eyes.
Dave.
God damn.
My man.
I'm
He's
really happy for
famous,
him.
Famous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, can we FaceTime or even FaceTime him, Kenny?
FaceTime him. It never fucking worked. Can I FaceTime
him? What time is it there? It's like midnight or no, even late. Like, Turkey's on Far Eastern time.
I don't know. He was just putting videos of him. Have you ever seen the Turkish dudes who have the ice cream and they put it out and they take it back and they take He beat the guy. He just grabbed the ice cream cone out of his hand and crumpled it.
Let me see if this will work the way I want it to. Oh, it's not even set. I was going to do it from my computer. You know?
Oh, man. I would just love to get it because Dave just did a podcast today from his bed in Turkey.
That's incredible.
Wrapped up. I'm happy for Dave. I'm very happy for Dave. I'm not happy,
happy
for Dante.
So I'm happy for him.
Fuck Dante. Oh, my God. Wow. That's unbelievable.
And he's in the car.
That's incredible. That's so incredible. Dante, can you guess the words that just came out of my mouth?
What?
Take a guess. Two words.
Dante's coming on.
That's three words, asshole. I said fuck Dante, and then your name popped up. I was like, wow, that's incredible.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm fucking. I have no life anymore. Fucking.
Listen, man,
bars are taking over my world.
There are certain inevitabilities in life: death, taxes. And Dante might show up. We have no idea, man.
No, Dante will be in his car, 100%.
Something. I don't know. We're talking about how handsome White Sox Dave is, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation.
Yeah, I'm actually blogging about it. It's perfect. I just tweeted out that I'm going to do everything in my power when he returns not to let him grow his hair back.
He looks amazing.
He looks great bald, seriously.
He went all the way to Turkey to get a hair transplant. Everybody's like, don't do it. Just keep
it. That was my tweet. I was like, if Dave flew all the way to Turkey and got his ass hair implanted in his head just to realize how good he looks with his head shaved, then it was all worth it.
I'm saying, dude, Dave is legitimately a handsome guy with his head shaved. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
you see him furiously Googling, is it reversible?
No, he just needs to keep it where it is. Keep it short. He's a very handsome guy. It makes me happy. I'm scared for all the pussy in the world, as Dave would put it.
he would say the other word, actually.
Oh, right. I forgot. Yeah.
But you can tell he has confidence again. He's like, did you see the video of him with the ice cream man?
That's what I said. I'm
talking about this, dude.
I just said that.
Yeah, he's got like swagger and shit now. I'm happy for him.
Let me
so.
See that dick, fucking Dave. What are we doing?
Yeah, seriously, hang me or shut up, dude.
That fucking coke can.
Yeah, no, what if Dave just gets fucking shredded now and he just becomes a total douche?
Colin, we're gonna have to clip this so I can put this in the blog because I just uploaded the screenshots of him for the blog. I'll hold off and wait on it.
I mean, yeah, show meat or shut up, dude. If you're,
that's what show I'm meat.
Yeah.
Show meat,
that
dude.
Thing, dude. Dante, is it free?
Dante, are you allowed to wear a Carhartt in a Rolls Royce?
Yo, how cold is Chicago right now?
Dude, it's fucking freezing. It was 24 yesterday. Oh. It's only 36 today, or it's 36 today, so it's warmer.
It's 73 degrees here right now.
Oh yeah, Dante, bastard. You also miss it. Kenny bought a boat.
I did buy a boat.
Do you even live near water?
No, listen, I'm from Florida and it's not the same, but out here you have a boat, you drive it to the lake. You drop it in and you spend the day. So that's what my Yeah, I used to be able to walk in my backyard to the boathouse and just get in it and go. But anyway, I'm ready to start sending my kids on the wake surfer, you know?
Yeah, do what Dante does and do the podcast live from a boat.
I will say this. For anybody that has ever actually driven a boat, I have immense respect for people who can park boats. Parking a boat might be one of the hardest fucking
Yeah, it's way tougher things. Than you think.
Dude, you have the wind moving, you have the water moving, and the boat moving. You have three variables that are constantly, like, changing. Granted, sometimes the water's really calm, and if you have a really nice slip, you have plenty of room. But if you're, like, doing it for the first few times, it is the fucking hardest thing to do.
Dude, I spent a summer in high school up in Michigan fucking parking my uncle's 44-foot yacht every day and moving it around the marina for him. I fucking love a boat.
Why are you hanging out with us if you got family with a 44-foot
yacht?
He lost all his money in like 2008, 2009, and that boat's long fucking gone. But it was a fun
dude,
time.
I didn't know you were fucking a one percenter.
1%. Can I tell you something, though? He's that uncle of mine that never had kids, and of all the cousins, I'm his favorite. So I'm hoping when he croaks, I get some good
shit. Oh, my God, dude.
R.I.P. Nice.
Let's dive into some music stuff. Obviously, the biggest news of the day, it is Spotify Wrapped Day. It's the day that Dante wakes up with a chill in his bones every year. As soon as he sees that. Oh, man. This was a year where we were proven right on a lot of things. I just want to say that all the Spotify raps I saw, all of them. Now, granted, apparently I might live in a small bubble, was all country, Americana, and pop. That's all it was. There was barely any rap. And the only rapper I really saw was Drake, randomly enough. I also did this too. And I want to say this. I want to shout out somebody because I put on our socials for people to send us their Spotify raps because I wanted to see if we were right on stuff. Yo, I don't know if this is a joke. One of our followers sent us his Spotify rap, and here are his top artists. I even want to say this guy's name? Because, well, I think it's a burner. It's Da Boy David. His top artist was Drake. His second artist was The Wiggles. Certified Lover.
I mean, my kids.
I don't know.
those, like, kids. I never realized it because I obviously don't have kids, but those kids artists have accounts on Spotify. They must fucking bank.
Dude, they make so much fucking money.
YouTube
must be even crazier.
Buddy, you have no idea.
You're looking at Miss Rachel having 500 million streams on a video.
Hold on a second. Kenny, do you remember what Kate told us about Miss Rachel, the conspiracy?
Oh, I knew that before she even told me that because I watched Miss Rachel. I used to.
The Pierce Nipples?
Pierce nipples, dude. You could see in many videos these barbells. Maybe it's her bra or something, but like my wife was the first one that was like, Pierce nipples.
Said so hot. Is this chick hot? Or is she?
She's hot for like a toddler YouTube, like good for you, you know, wearing pink and shit. But like, yeah, she's still a bitch.
I've long said I have a theory that Miss Rachel finishes the recording, goes right to the bar and chain smokes cigarettes and just has her head in her hands the entire time.
That's fucking Kate, dude. You know what I mean? It's going to be sick.
Oh, 100%. But yeah, so we did get a lot of these back. Dante, this one's for you. Do you know TJ, the producer for Mostly Sports? His dad is like very online with the Barstool community.
Yeah, Hitchens. He's fucking awesome. His dad's even cooler.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Mr. Hitchens. He sent us his Spotify Wrapped.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
It's got to be like Yacht Rock, Dead.
Dante, you're like so Doobie far off. Brothers it's not even, you're so shit. Far off. It's not even funny. Number one, David Guetta. Number two, Tiesto. Number three, John Summit. Number four, Gorgon City. And number five, Charlie XCX. I swear to God, all
Potter's
my life,
using dude. His account or something.
Dude, I thought this was a troll. It's not. I literally commented back and said, "Mr. Hitchens, this is not what I was expecting."
That's amazing.
Can I tell you that? What a troll it would be if instead of using Photoshop, somebody actually like played the worst music ever just for the Wrapped picture.
Just for the Wrapped.
Here, that's a good troll.
Well, I want to bring this up. I think I did play the worst music possible for my Wrapped. I have never been more shocked at my Spotify Wrapped results was this year.
Let's hear them.
So number one was obvious. It was Kanye. It was still number one was Kanye West. So, number two was Morgan Wallen. I didn't think I bumped that much Morgan Wallen. And my number one song of the year was the Post Malone and Morgan Wallen song, I Need Some Help. Apparently, I was just in my bag, dude. Now, number three was the shocker. Kind of a shocker, but I'm more apologetic about it than anything. Number three was Zach Bryan. And am I excommunicated? I don't think I can be. I think this is – I have a post – like, I get some grace on this because we didn't know all this about him.
It's your boy, dude. You're not excommunicated. It's your favorite fucking guy in the world.
First of all, huff my bird because you were in on him too. I don't want to fucking hear it.
I think Zach Bryan's music is an indication of how bad everyone's judge of character is, because because not just him, like not to single him out, like everyone's basically some form of a piece of shit.
Correct.
And they're all pretending to be nice guys, particularly fucking artists. Like, when are people going to learn this, particularly girls? If an artist is talking to you or singing to you, he's lying.
He's lying.
Like, it's all fucking lie. Like, what do you think? He's the one that's not out on the road banging hundreds of girls?
Yes. Come on. Well, my number one was Kanye, so I kind of let the boat go on that one. So who gives at least he's honest, you know what I mean? My number four was my own band.
Of course.
And number five was Father John Misty. So not bad. Not terrible, the back half.
Not great either.
Not great. Agreed. But the Morgan Wallen thing shocked me. I didn't think I listened to that much Morgan Wallen. Apparently,
I saw the posts that were like girls posting, be like, "Oh my God, so accurate!" And the guys are like, "Yeah, it's fucking data, you stupid bitch."
Did anybody else run their Spotify Wrapped?
I'm proud of mine.
What is it?
My number one, as far as artists go, my number one was James Brown.
Nice.
I fucking been
sick.
Been loving it all year. Number two, Turnstile.
Nice.
I tried to stop. I can't stop. Number three was Outkast. Number four was Steely Dan. And number five was Beastie Boys.
What the fuck? You had a great one.
Had a great year, dude. Great year. I told you, I know music, baby. You know?
Man, yeah, that's why I'm disappointed in myself. My music taste sucks, apparently.
Johnny's is going to be like Japanese jazz.
Number one is...
And the number, if I can't... But multiple people use my account, so I have to like count out the things I know I'm not listening to. But my number one is a Greek singer, an old man who's dead, and his name is Stelios Kazantzidis.
Socrates.
Of course it is.
Okay. Number two.
Number two, Miles Davis. Number three, Jerry Lee Lewis. Another Greek singer, Anestis Moises, George Jones, Tinariwen, the band from Mali that I'm always on about.
See, but these make so much sense.
I have a question. Johnny, you're into Greek music?
He's Greek.
I'm Greek, brother.
Brother, I give you a vinegar deal.
I knew this, but like seeing it now with the data, that's super accurate.
I thought you were South African.
I'm a South African, Greek, American dude who was born in England. I'm the world, Dante. I am the world.
You're the white world.
He's white people soup, dude. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm kind of talking to a Greek girl right now. They're interesting.
Tell her this word. Say, skordo munoputsoglu.
Totally. You're gonna have to text me that.
That means Dante, garlic vagina cream.
Does she have hairy off?
Yeah, Dante, do me a favor and just like speak gargle gibberish. See how that goes.
Say ramoto munipusopetage. I won't even say that one. Yeah, it means
that's a tough language, man.
Go fuck the pussy you came out
of. Oh my God. Johnny, how does it feel to know that you guys dominated civilization and then just took a vacation for the next like 2,000 years?
Great, because that's the point of dominating civilization, is to get a vacation.
You guys fucking smashed democracy and fucking philosophy, and then you were just like, you know what, we're gonna chill.
No, not just chill. They're gonna fail. They're a failed
Oh, come on,
state.
Dante,
Failed
you and me are
people.
in the same boat in this. We're failing because Germany fucked everyone, and everyone wants to forget about that, and then they're gonna like crush Southern Europe and be
Like,
like,
people want to
"We are the
forget about
good
that?
guys."
Yeah, people want to forget. I don't want to forget
No,
about it.
I'm not even talking about World War II. Like,
No.
without even bringing that one up, it's like Germany's still kind of like screwing over Southern Europe.
We do have
Oh,
German
yeah.
listeners. We do have German listeners, so I do want to say this for all the Krauts out there. Fast forward a couple seconds.
Oh, they can
Germany
take a joke, right?
Germany and France just bent over and let their countries be completely taken
Listen,
over.
we could talk all this shit about them, but those of us who have been there to play shows can vouch that maybe the best crowds you'll ever play in your life are in fucking Germany. Nobody
Well,
loves music like the fucking Germans,
I do, but I
dude,
want to say this. Don't let
I
them
wish.
ever get high and mighty on anything. We remember what you did, you motherfuckers.
No,
I wish one.
I will say I have touring Germany is one of the best
The
fucking
best.
times.
Best.
All right. I haven't, that's one of the, for a few European countries I have not been to, and I want to go so bad because it's crazy
It's
how beautiful it
yeah,
looks.
it
And
is.
I've heard nothing but good things about people.
It's
I
literally
will.
worth going just for the bread. I'm not exaggerating. Like, I know
Better than
everyone's like,
France? What
I
then?
don't know if I would say better, but like on par and different.
Yeah, different.
It's
Yeah,
like it's so fucking good.
on
Anywhere,
par and different.
literally go to a truck stop and get a
Dude.
sandwich. It'll be better than anything you've ever had.
Dude, that's how
Ever
France
been to
was.
Subway?
The
Yeah.
bread and butter in France, I could eat just bread and butter in France the
Ooh,
whole
yeah.
time
Give me
there.
a
It's that
cigarette,
good.
give me a bread, give me a butter and a scooter, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, and I want them all at the same time. You know,
Yeah.
I want the baguette in my hands on the scooter with the cig in my mouth.
The butter there is like butter I've never had anywhere else in the world. I don't
Germany's
know
sick
what.
because it's one of those countries that like has like seven awesome cities that are all different in their own way. And when you sit down at a restaurant, like how in America they bring you ice water, they literally bring you beer. They do make you pay for it, which I was surprised about because I was like, you just gave this to me. I just assumed you were giving it to me, but then they charge you for it.
I wish White Sox Dave was on here because he actually knows a good amount of European like history. He hasn't really traveled there at all, but he knows a good amount of
Yeah, it's
it.
because
Well,
he
yeah,
has
he has
early
early onset
Republican. That's
republicanism.
exactly what
Yeah, Dave's also Dave. He's now
Johnny.
Istanbul Dave. Istanbul Dave might not come back. He fucking loves it there.
I've never been, but I have heard that Turkey is like the dopest of dope in the whole world. Number one. That's what I've heard.
Dude, Istanbul is like, talk about like the Greeks running the world. Like, Istanbul used to be Constantinople, obviously. Like,
Yeah.
that particular city is one of the most important cities in the history of mankind. It's
Yeah.
fucking ancient and like
Yeah.
super interesting.
I want to
I've
go.
never been. My brother's been.
That was like the empire after the Roman Empire, right?
Correct.
No,
Yeah,
Greeks were before. Greeks were before Rome.
That was
Greek,
the
Rome, and
was that
then
the Ottoman Empire?
yeah.
Empire was like way into the 30s or 40. It fell
What was
in
the
World War
religion that came?
II.
What's the religion that came out of that? It was something with an O.
Out of Ottoman Empire?
Just out of like Turkey in that area, it was the.
I think
I don't
Turkey's
remember.
a mixture of like Muslim and a lot of Christians.
Yeah, this was around the time of the Crusades. It was the I forget.
Zoroastrianism.
That was earlier than that, wasn't it? That's like
No,
the
I don't
first
know.
religion.
That's just I like to say that
What
word.
are we talking about? Let's
Yeah,
talk,
I know. The music
Dante.
podcast.
No, dude,
Dante,
these
did you?
tangents are what make us go viral.
Dante, did you happen to look at your Spotify Wrapped?
So here's the thing. My Wrapped is fucking a disaster every year. And every year I'm like, okay, I'm gonna log out my account out of all these other. So all my bars, I use my account to like set playlists at for like when I don't have DJs or bands playing. And it's all just like it's all over the place. It's like Morgan Wallen and like Tina Turner and fucking ABBA.
No
It's
bullshit.
like
I bet you I can make Dante's Spotify rap right here.
Yeah,
Right.
me too.
Okay, number one is Zedd. Number two is Taylor Swift. Number three is Galantis. Number four is Bruce Springsteen. And
No.
number five is Tate McRae. Got it. Nailed it.
Tate
Done.
McRae
No.
definitely is in there.
Dante, who was it?
Except that's more like his YouTube
Dude,
searches, I would say.
I just told you it's not mine. It's like all my venues and everything use it
Yeah.
all for like the same playlist over and over. But if
I think Dante probably has super sophisticated music taste on his actual listening, and then everything else on his searches is all just like hot
chicks. Have you ever seen Crazy Stupid Love, the movie with Ryan Gosling?
Of course.
Amazing. I picture Dante's house a lot like Gosling's house in that, where he walks into the house and he puts on a specific record and then makes a girl a drink. Yeah. And then they sit in the massage chair and then he gets
a bunch of shit that he bought that he never used before.
Exactly. You
want to know what the go-to is for that?
Huey Lewis and the News.
No, that would be awesome. But no, like 10 years going now. So I'm dying for them to come out with a new album. XX.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Jamie. Great record.
That's a good fucking record right there.
Yeah, it seriously is. And every fucking girl is like, what is this? This is great.
You're so cool for knowing Jamie XX. Yeah.
Dante, what artist do you think you've come to the most in your life?
I don't know, but I will say this year.
Not counting what you beat your mirror.
By yourself or with someone else?
This year, I will say I listened to a ridiculously embarrassing amount of Antonoff and the Bleachers.
Oh, that's a good. No, those records have been good.
It's a little good.
Should I be ashamed of like really liking that band?
Like, no, because like
10%, not a lot, right? Like, it's kind of gay, but you know.
Yeah, bad. No, but the thing is with those records is, though, he's doing a lot of like Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen shit. A lot of these records.
Colin, that's the thing. It sounds so E Street Band to me that it's like scary.
Right. So you're getting his actual intentionality of what his music sounds like as opposed to what his production sounds like. Which, by the way, we didn't talk about this on the podcast. Did you know that Jack Antonoff had a production hand in GNX by Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, actually. I saw that.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Dude, I blogged about it. He like was the intermediary that sent that track. It's like a ridiculous story. He has production credits on it.
Yeah, he's listed, if you were to look at like the credits, he's listed as like a studio engineer. He's not listed as a producer, but he was listed as like working on the record. They really did get the Avengers together to take Drake out. I'm just for real. And if Taylor Swift is actually on the new album that I think is coming, they literally went for Drake's neck, like to an extensive degree.
But here's the thing. I know that this exists. I know that her and Drake did a song like three, four years ago.
Yeah, there's that picture of those two together.
That got shelved. So I guarantee if they try to play that card that Drake's going to leak that song and say, fuck the repercussions, I'll pay whatever.
I don't think it matters, man. I think he's in a fucking death spiral. I'm sorry. There's something.
Well, are we going to talk about? I know we were supposed to talk about this whole streaming thing this week and have KFC on and have our inside man on, and it got pushed back. But I don't want it to go another week and have the story die down at all. Like we really got to get into this because I feel like we have a real peek behind the curtain, and I also feel like Kevin did a really good job of explaining like why this is more significant than people really think it is.
So yeah, let's dive into that real quick before we do. I just want to ask a question. Can you guess the top five most streamed artists this year on Spotify Wrapped globally?
Yes. Weekend always.
Yep. He's number two. Who's number one?
Taylor, obviously.
Number one.
Yep. Sabrina was number one.
Taylor, Weekend,
Beyonce?
Nope.
I'll go Kendrick. Wallen. Morgan Wallen.
Not Kendrick.
Drake. Post Malone.
Drake is four.
Post Malone.
Nope. There's two more you're missing. One guy, one girl.
Is it Sabrina?
Nope.
She had the number one stream song in the US, I saw.
Yeah, but so you got Weekend, Taylor, Drake. You're missing three and five. Think globally.
Oh, Bad Bunny or something?
Bad Bunny's number three.
Okay.
And number five.
Is a female.
It's a female who wins a bunch of awards.
Oh, Chappell?
Nope.
Adele?
Nope. You're missing a big one.
Missing a big one?
Oh, Dua Lipa.
No.
What?
She sings soft. and harmonizes everything in her bedroom with her brother.
Oh, really?
Billy?
Billie Eilish is number five. Yes.
So Billie Eilish, that's good for her. That's surprising.
Man, I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. She's one of the few pop stars like, dude, she can fucking sing. Her voice is so sick.
So that's, wait, hold on real quick. So that's globally. She was not in the top five in America.
That's fucking weird.
I thought
that makes no sense.
I thought she was.
In the U.S., it's Swift 1, Drake 2, number 3. Take a guess at number 3. Think America.
Drake.
The next two are country artists.
Oh, Morgan.
Morgan Wallen is number 4. Number 3 is an enemy of the program now.
Zach
Bryan's number 3.
Jesus.
And number 5 is my number 1. Kanye is still number 5. Yes. Pretty fucking incredible. But Dante, yeah, let's get into your streaming conversation. So I want you to break this down for people who don't know what we're talking
about. Dante's gone.
All right, we'll get into something else.
No, I'm here. I'm just I had to text something real quick, so I jumped off. Hold on one second.
There's something like Zooming and texting and dropping.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a piece of shit.
Dude, it doesn't matter. If Dante dies in a tragic car wreck, this podcast is going to the moon.
True. But who will inherit the Carhartt?
So, all right. So without doing like a whole timeline thing, because more's come out since it all broke, Drake got it in his head through obviously his lawyer team that he had a significant case against both Universal Music Group, which is his label, and also Kendrick's, and Spotify, who obviously we all knew ahead of time, but we know even more now with what has come out, that they're in bed together. Spotify's in bed with all the major labels, but Universal especially. So Drake filed a petition, two petitions, not lawsuits, petitions originally, which basically opened Universal and Spotify up for discovery, where they had to turn over like books and correspondence between them and Spotify and them and Kendrick's team and all this shit, because he alleges that they conspired to drive his sales down and drive his basically his price down because he was in the middle of a contract negotiation with them. And what's funny about this is we were talking about this summer. Obviously, everyone in the world was. And I distinctly remember Colin bringing this up multiple times that this is all Universal doing this because Universal has both these guys and they're making money both ways off both of the fucking like disses. And yeah. I remember being like, I wouldn't put that past scumbag music labels, but I don't think they would like have a hand in what Drake is alleging, them promoting him being a pedophile, Kendrick's, you know, accusations and whatnot.
Certified mother like, boy, certified pedophile.
Which is like really fucked up when you think about it, that was their guy for, you know, the last, however, 10, 15 years, huge cash cow. There are rumors that the last deal Drake struck with them, they actually gave him equity in Universal Music Group because they wanted to keep him around for so long. So now that this deal ran out and they're renegotiating, we don't know what Drake was asking for, but speculation is he was asking for the fucking moon and the stars and Universal, again, allegedly tried to submarine him as best they could by paying Spotify to pump not like us, like fucking crazy on all the playlists they could, on all the for you suggestions that they could, and also to artificially inflate Kendrick's numbers, which is something we have been told from insiders for years now, that all these streaming numbers are bullshit. Yep. That they're not even bots, that they're just bullshit numbers that labels are basically like greasing Spotify to show so that they can place higher, they can chart higher, they can like.
Well, it's about getting the market share because of the way Spotify divvies up royalties. It's about percentage, like ratio of market share. So, you know,
exactly.
Like, the more they can get there. It's kind of weird that he'd be suing about all this alleged like playlists and like streaming interference and not for like fucking libel or whatever the word is, defamation, for being called a pedophile. I feel like that would be top of your priority list.
You know what this feels like?
Johnny, that was the second one. That's the one against UMG.
Oh, okay, he did.
So there's two. The petitions are now, I believe, lawsuits, which is why you're hearing like Charlemagne and all these other big industry people that were kind of like on the fence about the whole thing, now speaking out saying like, Drake, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You're making like you lost and now you're making it like even worse by.
This is like an allegory, I guess. When you look at Drake going and trying to shine light on the label situation and the bots and the fake streaming and the pumping up of the numbers, the only person that I can equate Drake to is General Hans Landa. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, Inglourious Bastards.
Yes, it is Christoph Waltz's character in Inglourious Bastards. For years, you ran this shit. For years, you benefited off this shit. And then right as the war is coming to a close, you want to jump on the other side and try and blow the fucking whistle and get your good graces off because you got fucking decimated in a battle?
Well,
get the fuck out of here.
It's funny. That's what like Academics was saying on his, you know, his stream.
Wait, Academics could actually get that sentence out without Drake's penis down his throat?
Well, no, he's kind of flipped, you know, and he said, he was like, you know, Drake is in a position to sue because Drake benefited from this exact same treatment for years and years and years. So he has like inside knowledge of what they did to him because they were doing
Aubrey,
it for him.
Good old Aubrey Enron Graham. You know what I mean? He's fucking trying to get his bail out here. Get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry. Like I'm dead serious when I say I think this entire thing has stained Drake to a level that I think his legacy is tainted. I don't think that there's a record he could put out that you would ever get past. Like, I'm sorry, even within industry circles. Like, at this point, it's like, dude, you are such a bitch. Like,
You think it's like a death sentence?
I think it's just that now it's going to be a... There's a malaise over it now to where, like, even if I was to hear tomorrow... Now, let's not also forget this. His last three records have not been great. For All the Dogs... Honestly, Never Mind, and Certified Lover Boy. None of those three records hit the way they did before. And it could be oversaturation. It could be a lot of things. But that's God's honest truth. For me, as a big Drake fan, doesn't hit the same way. If Drake were to announce tomorrow, like, yo, I'm putting out a new record. It's comeback time. I don't think people are going to give as big of a fuck as they did previously. I do not think that he's at the top of the pops anymore. I don't think he's...
Well,
he's not the same guy.
Did you see they announced he's... kicking off the World Cup.
Really?
He's like the World Cup performer for like
I thought you were
going to
say he was doing the halftime
match.
I thought you were going to say he was doing the halftime at the Puppy Bowl. He was going to do the Puppy Bowl like while the Super Bowl is going on. I'm sorry, but this is only going to get worse. There is going to come a point in time where in front of like 100 million people, Kendrick Lamar is going to scream the words trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor in front of the entire fucking world.
Do you think he's going to perform that at the Super Bowl?
Yes, I do. I don't think he get. But here's what I actually think is going to happen. You can check me on this when it does happen. They will at least have a giant band, like a giant like Southern horn band doing the dun, 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 and he'll probably do at least the beginning of the song. If he goes all the way and says, trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor. I think Drake has the right to appeal to the UN to sanction him with US with like human rights violations. I think it's that serious. I think skip the lawyers. You go right to the United Nations and you say, this is a crime against humanity. To me, he just called me a pedophile in front of the free world. Like there's no, I'm sorry. Like Kendrick can't lose at this point. There is no what, like it's over. It's fucking over. It's just a matter of how much mercy he wants to have. Now, if it's a World War II allegory once again, will the Japanese surrender or will there be atomic bombs? That's the question. That is the question.
This is the perfect cross point of like our audience. They're like, they're talking hip hop battles and now we're going into fucking World War II.
Not like us was Hiroshima, man.
No. Not like us. Not like us was like, I don't like the Battle of Midway or something. Like it was a huge deal. Hiroshima is if Kendrick goes on the Super Bowl and calls Drake a pedophile in front of the free world with like a picture of Drake's face in the background. That is how you end the war. At that point, Drake has to, I don't know. I agree, man.
Like this guy, can you imagine like the anxiety you would have if you got just like eviscerated this summer? And your career is like
eviscerated. You're not only saying your career got fucked up, you were being labeled as a chomo.
Yeah, and then but then you think like, all right, I just gotta like wait it out and time will go by, and people will move on. And then it's like, oh no, he's doing the Super Bowl halftime show now. Now you have like 6 months of looking forward and like just dreading every day, waking up being like, fuck. What is he gonna do? Wouldn't you be like begging him to like have mercy and like?
I'd probably go and sue Universal. Is what I would do. What the fuck, man? Like, I'm sorry. It's just it is the number one music story of the year. Like, we're gonna do countdowns eventually. Like, what was the biggest music story of the year? It was Kendrick and Drake. And the funniest part is like, I don't even think Kendrick like. He's not a normal person to where like, he's not going on like interviews and being like, yeah, I got that motherfucker. You're dead, Drake. He is sitting in a dark room, like flicking a lighter.
Yeah. Who's or, like, cooler? Who's cooler than Kung Fu Kenny, dude?
Even that's what I'm saying.
The way he comes out, like the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he his vibe, like Drake is so loud and Kung Fu is just fucking chill.
Drake is a high school bully that had been picking on the anime kid with the Naruto headband.
Yeah.
And making his life a living hell. And then the Naruto headband kid beat the fucking shit out of him. And they never talked about it again. And every day Drake's like, I could beat that motherfucker.
I disagree. Like, I feel like this whole thing, when you think back to the genesis, like how this started and how it ended, it's like, wow, like that escalated so fucking quickly. Like, we were talking. I remember I was at the I went to both Cleveland J. Cole and Drake shows. They were unbelievable. We were talking about Drake being like one of the greatest of all time. That fucking first person shooter song was like the song of the year. Everybody was on it and they were cocky as fuck. And like a week later, that like little tit for tat started.
Yeah, it was like that. It was the future in Drake's. It was the future in Metro Boomin song.
The Metro song, and that started just this domino effect. And I remember being like, "Wow, J. Cole, what a bitch move! Like, why would he do that now?"
What a comeback by
J. Cole, the smartest fucking man of all time. For
dude.
Having the foresight to duck out of this and be like, yeah, I don't want any of this. I apologize. Sure, I'm pulling the song down. He looks like the most brilliant guy of all time.
I mean, he's Sweden. If we're once again going back to war situations, he was the middleman. He backed out. He was like, maybe I'll dip my toe in this. Switzerland, I apologize. Yeah. I don't think Sweden are that big of a war guy.
If you really want to get into it, Switzerland was kind of neutral, but also maybe they were like funding everything.
But you gotta think like if it could Kendrick have handled him and Drake?
Yes.
Like, could it have been a 2-on-1?
Yeah.
I don't think it would have fucking mattered.
Yeah.
You think so?
First off, can we also bring something up? Has anybody done a better job of mitigating damage than Jake Hall this year? This man came back and did what fans have been asking for years and put all of his classic mixtapes. Jake Hall got in all that trouble and he's like, I'll pay for the samples.
Has anyone done a better? I can answer your question. Has anyone done a better job of mitigating damage? Hunter Biden.
Oh yeah,
I beg your pardon.
J. Cole is the Hunter Biden of the rap world. Good point, dude. Just shout out Hunter Biden. I hope what Hunter Biden does with this new lease on life is what me and Kenny suggested years ago, which was start a new metal band. I want to go see Hunter Biden front a new metal band. That's what I want.
Hunter's,
smoke crack.
Hunter's teeth.
No, what we're gonna call it? I forget, but Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, it's a fucking great name for a band.
Everybody that's mad at Hunter is just jealous they're not as cool as he is, dude.
Right, The Pardon. That's a mixtape. The Pardon. You know what I'm saying? But to get back off that, J. Cole put Friday Night Lights, the warm up, the come up, all these records on Spotify. And he put out this new like audio series where he's describing his career step by step. Just an absolute masterclass in fucking distraction. Great job. Proud of him. Next week when we do the whammies, we do the worst of the year. I feel like Drake is going to be the absolute recipient of a lot of these awards.
Yeah.
Like he has to. I mean, I got some good Perfect. Categories too.
I wish I'd been saying this from literally the first podcast I ever did with you guys that I don't like Drake before any of this.
Yo, one of the categories next week is worst accusation.
Drake's super thankful for P. Diddy this year. He's like, well, at least I'm not P. Diddy.
Yeah, no shit.
Or is Diddy thankful for Drake? Like,
oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Diddy's already fucked no matter what, so whatever.
Vice versa. Did you guys see Kendrick's tour dates that he announced?
With SZA, yeah, huge. Football stadiums.
Yeah, and do you see he's doing one show in Canada, and it's in Toronto?
Hell yes, dude.
He is such a troll.
Speaking of Canada, can we once again get a little bit geopolitical, and did anybody see what Trump said to Trudeau this week?
Yeah, dude.
Unbelievable.
Did you see the photo that he posted?
I missed it. Please tell me.
Trump went and had a meeting with Trudeau, and Trudeau said, basically, if you put these tariffs on us, Canada's economy is going to just implode. And Trump said, well, if you can't run your country without milking America for hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe you should just become the 51st state. Maybe I'll let you be the governor. What a fucking line, dude.
Then he posted a photo of himself, Trump, holding the Canadian flag, illegally crossing the border into Switzerland. You can't make this up. Fucking
listen. Michael. You know I don't care about politics, but how can you not think that it's the funniest shit ever? Who cares? The world's ending. Don't make me just like fucking him. Have a good laugh.
I love him as a person, which is maybe
hilarious.
But I'm also starting to love Biden as a person now because of this pardon. It's like
me too.
I love everyone. I just love everyone.
That's my dream. That's my dream blunt rotation right there.
Dude, Biden,
Hunter, Joe, and North. Trump.
Wild.
Damn! Imagine passing the blunt with them three, and Hunter just chiefs the entire thing.
You see that photo?
Colin, imagine you smoking a blunt.
Listen to me. If those three are passing the blunt around and Joe looks at me and mumbles something, I'm in. You know what I mean?
Malarkey, right. Man.
That's all we got to do is round them up. All right, we're on it.
Get those three. Fucking throw Zelensky in there, too. I'm in. You know what I mean? Who's your nightmare blunt rotation?
Oh, God. Anybody who's never smoked before, that's my nightmare.
My nightmare blunt rotation actually is Kenny. Because I don't want to die.
Yeah. Listen, all those times that we've been together and everybody's like, just fucking do it. Smoke weed. Eat this edible. I don't want to ruin your guys' time. You guys really want to put me in the hospital? I don't think so.
I'm not trying
to. You don't need to succumb to peer pressure.
I want to open your mind and open
sounds
you
like
up
you're trying
to
fuck
universe.
Me, to be completely honest. Dante's like, nah, man, just do it. You get loose, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're going to like it.
Certified lover boy, certified pedophile.
Listen, man, I used to be just like you. I used to look down on the weed smoker. Anybody. Listen, I was like you. I used to think, I don't want anything to do with that. The people that smoke weed are fucking losers and
never
lazy.
Said any of this.
I know how you think, because I was you. So listen. I was on tour with Sammy Adams, who smokes a lot of weed, and so do his tour mates. And I was constantly being peer pressured, and I said, listen, the first time I smoke weed, it's gonna have to be for a very special occasion. When a special occasion arises, I will do it.
You lost your virginity. Like,
yes. No. 6 months later, we killed Bin Laden, and we were actually in Toronto. Actually, I was in Toronto speaking of Toronto, and the news broke, and Sammy was like, "You're fucking smoking weed," and I was like, "I'm smoking weed."
Yeah. You smoked weed for the first time because Bin Laden
and
got
I
killed.
Smoked, yeah, dude. I was like, I was in my 20s, and I was like, wow, what have I been fucking missing out on my whole life?
Shout out to Bin Laden, man.
Am I high, or did they just kill the leader of Al-Qaeda? I can't figure this out.
I felt like such a loser, though. I was like, wow, now I get it.
That's the greatest fucking story. First off, what a clip. I can't wait to clip that. I can't wait. That's a fucking world-class clip. The first time I got high was because they killed Bin Laden.
A good reason. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Guys, can I be honest with you? The only thing I'm worried about is, what if I smoke weed and then I'm gay?
Then you were gay all along, and now you're stoked.
Your two sons will have a gay dad. Yeah. Both like Kenny.
They call it the Kenny Garkey.
I have a gay dad. It's like, pretty sick, man.
Hell yeah, dog.
Two Christmases.
Do you have gay Christmas?
Big gay Christmas.
Christmas? Hell yeah. What is it? Is that just what Kwanzaa is?
Never meeting a white elephant.
So we really got sidetracked on the fucking label conversation, but we are going to have a special guest on to talk about this. He's basically Deep Throat. We don't really know who this guy is. We've just been communicating through email. It's going to be interesting. Past that, was there anything else we needed to get into music-wise before we go into the Red Clay Strays interview?
No, I'll say this about Red Clay Strays. I follow them on Instagram and all that, and you know when you see a band's like rising and you're really happy for every step of the way because they just seem like fucking good, normal, nice dudes, and like they're posting and you can see they're genuinely surprised by like how big it's gone for them. Like, you know when things are blowing up, but it's still always a surprise because you see these pictures from them and I kind of recognize them on a smaller scale from like our perspective, where you're like, you're just excited to be like, look, we're playing this venue. Isn't that exciting, guys?
Yeah.
And
it's like.
I see that same like feeling of genuine joy in them as they rise up to like headlining fucking Red Rocks and all that now. So like, it's kind of cool to watch that, you know?
Those were the best.
Right, I gotta say something about that because I keep it real. And
oh, we see the jacket. We know, Dante.
Listen, I interviewed them and it was Johnny, you're 100% correct. Or no, you're 90% correct, because how many members are in that group? Like eight?
There was a lot, a big band.
There was like a shit ton of them packed into our trailer. It was hilarious. We were like passing around one microphone, and I would say there's eight of them, seven out of them, Johnny's dead on correct. They are like the coolest, most like regular fucking guys, and they are just like blown away at their success, and they can't believe, like, they were like, you know, holy shit, we're fucking headlining this festival, you know, Windy City Smokeout, like, we can't believe where we're at now.
And the other one,
and then the lead singer was just like, you can just tell he's a rock star, and not a rock star, he's a country star. He was like sitting there with his sunglasses on, hunched over, just like he made it in his mind. And I respect this. I'm not talking shit. I respect people like this. He made it in his mind like 10 years ago. And he's just like waiting for the rest of the world to catch up.
Yeah, he feels like the rest of the world is late to the party. I know that.
Exactly.
I love that. Oh, yeah, I get that, because it is a frustrating feeling when you know, fucking hell, this should be huge, and it's not, and then it is, and you're like, see?
Exactly. And like, we got done, and like, our cameraman was like, that guy was kind of a dick, and I was like, no, he's just in that mindset that he's a fucking, you know, superstar, and he got on stage, and he fucking had more swag than anybody. They're fucking awesome, dude. I respect the fuck out of him.
Maybe
and
he
also,
just hated White Sox Dave. Was he at the interview?
No, he was. Dave missed that interview. But, Con, we got to make sure that we clip. They told the funniest story about when they were at a game at Wrigley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, we were actually on Barstool once. And I was like, you were? And they were like, well, the social media, they were like, before anybody knew who we went to a Cubs game and we were sitting out in the bleachers. And they were like, we were sitting down in the first row on the wall and we stacked all these beer cups into a pyramid and people in the bleachers just kept passing down empty beer cups. And they were like, we had this gigantic fucking pyramid of beer cups built. And it like, it became a bigger and bigger thing. People were passing them from all over the stadium. And they started showing us on the telecast. And then all of a sudden, a fucking usher came over and knocked him over like an asshole. And everyone started booing and like
love it,
flipping out. And Barstool posted it. And they were telling this. And like, we went back and found the clip. So we got to make sure we like combine that story with that clip for social.
I will definitely pull that. But I do want to say, I can't wait for my moment where like the new Foxtrot record comes out and then I can look back and say like, oh yeah, I fucking knew it the whole time. And I won't tell you guys, but there will be signs when I show up with like sunglasses on and like a new like Dookie rope chain, like big gold chain. And my kid isn't like a floating chair next to me. I'm not going to say anything.
At the height of AWOL, I used to walk around airports with like hat and sunglasses and shit. And even my lead singer was like, you look like a fucking nerd. Take that shit off. Nobody gives a shit.
That's one good thing about being in a band with your brothers. Like, I'm sure we had our moments of being like egotistical and that, but it's like, it's really hard to do with your brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, for Foxtrot, I mean, everybody in my band is basically family at this point. So like, I don't think anybody could ever get a big head regardless, but
my wife used to tell me all the time, you're acting like an asshole. Stop.
Kenny, real quick. I just sent you a video and I want to cap it with this. Can you pull this up for me?
Let's see.
So Dante watched the new Yacht Rock documentary, which we're out of time here. I have to go, but we'll get into this next week.
Did you guys watch it? If you didn't watch it, so we can talk about it next week. It's so fucking sick.
I want to bring this up. Did you see the video clip of the Donald Fagen thing that went around?
Yes.
I want to play this on here. Donald Fagen was one of the members of Steely Dan, and they tried to get him to come on the podcast. Or Donald Fagen is one of the members of Steely Dan. They tried to get him to be a part of the documentary for Yacht Rock, and this was Fagan's response when the interviewer reached out to him.
Yeah, this is he.
Yeah, hi, this is Garrett. I'm the one making this Yacht Rock documentary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I've been talking to a lot of people that have played with you and Steely Dan over the years, and I was wondering if you'd sit down with me and talk about your music and this genre.
And what genre is that?
Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I tell you what, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Donald Fagen hung up on me.
That's fucking phenomenal. Oh man, just imagine that guy hanging out with Chevy Chase back in the day in their dorm room.
Hell yeah.
So we're gonna talk about the Yacht Rock documentary next week. Next week we are having the Whammies, the worst of 2024. Robbie Fox is definitely gonna be on to do that. We're gonna have some more special guests. We have some great categories.
We have to do two episodes next week. We need to do that, and we need to do the KFC and streaming guy episode.
Look, Dante, I'm here. If you can find time in your schedule of driving around, you call me, all right?
Listen, man, I hop on even if I'm fucking mobile to make this shit happen.
All right, let's wrap it up with our interview with Red Clay Strays. Thank you guys very much. We will see you next week. This is our interview with Red Clay Strays.
This is going to be a fun one. Dante here, Barstool Backstage, joined by my fill-in host, Caroline. And you can see we're in cell block D here with my fellow inmates, the Red Clay Strays. Fellas, what is up?
How's it going?
How's it going?
Thank you so much for coming through. I got to say, this is probably the most excited interview. Everyone that we told that we were getting you was like, no fucking way. They're the best. Can't believe you got Red Clay Strays coming through. Like, talk of the weekend.
That's cool.
No, I'm dead
serious. That's disappointing.
What? I mean, you guys are
We're not very cool. We're just nerds.
We don't have enough chairs for you, but we are like very, very honored that you decided to come through. Windy City Smokeout, first one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
I don't know. It hasn't started yet.
Did you guys just get to Chicago?
Yeah, yeah. We got in like 9 o'clock this morning. Yeah.
Now we've seen the artist amenities. The artist village is pretty top notch. Tell you that.
They do.
That's
they
all
do,
we've seen so far.
They do a pretty good job.
It's
here.
Incredible.
I'm not going to lie. Did you get to make your way around the barbecue area at all, or
we did some barbecue. We did the burgers in the lunchroom. So
nice. First time in Chicago?
No. We played Chicago. One. We've played Chicago.
we're up to a
first time.
Yeah, where do we play in Chicago, though?
Joe's on Weed Street.
Legendary spot.
We'll come here a lot, and we eat at Illuminati's Pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza
Shout
Mine
out.
Hits us up.
What do you think about that?
Oh, that's great. Delicious. It's the best one in Chicago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Especially when he lets you.
That's the only pizza you've ever had in Chicago.
Yeah. But he lets us, Pizza Mike takes us back there, and we make our own pizzas. And
oh, you get the VIP.
Yeah, that's why it's the best. Yeah.
I like it. What you guys from Alabama?
Yeah. Yep.
What
Well, Sevens is from Oklahoma.
We got a Texas girl over here.
What part of Oklahoma?
Atoka. Oh, I don't know. Where is that in relation to like Oklahoma City or Tulsa?
It's 2 hours south of Tulsa, 2 hours north of Oklahoma City. So right in the middle. By the Choctaw Casino. Oh,
great location. Yeah.
He's a gambling man.
So how did this come about? How did you guys all link up? What's the connection here?
Met these two in 2015, Drew and Andrew. He doesn't like
to refer to
these two. in 2015 in a cover band, and that went for a while, and then it split up. And well, we hired John, and then 2 months later it split up, and then we hired Zach, and Drew was the manager, and then he stopped managing and started playing guitar.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Me and Drew met in college too. That's how before we met Brandon.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to the University of South Alabama. Me and him actually worked for the football team.
No shit.
I was doing sports med, and he was trying to be a coach, working with the what do you call it?
I was working with the equipment staff. I was washing jock straps.
Yeah, I was about to say, I remember you doing
clothes.
A lot of laundry, too.
Yeah. Brandon would show up. I'd come help Drew with the laundry at night, and Brandon would come, and we'd just hang out in the
sports guys, out.
Sports
guys,
yeah.
So
you got to pay tuition somehow, right?
Just doing
a lot of
stuff
with other guys. Yeah.
You're like Renaissance, man. Wait, so where was music at while you guys were focused on, you know, sports path, career, whatever?
Mine just was at home. My dad played guitar or drums and guitar, and my brother played, so I just kind of jammed with them, and it was kind of like just come home from school and it's just therapy kind of thing, I guess. Just something else to do, and then I never thought I would play as a, you know, for a career until we met Brandon, and we practiced for like a week and a half, and he's like, hey, we got a show. We got our first gig at the bar downtown, and that was it. We played ever since then.
Brandon, you've been a music lifer?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's
Block B.
Yeah. I never really set out to do anything else. I got a job after high school working, you know, 9 to 5 every day. But
doing what?
I worked for the city and wastewater construction. So I built wastewater treatment plants and had to install septic tanks in people's houses. But And I'd go on call every now and then too, like once every 2 months. I got a job at a job offer at a steel mill right out of high school, at Anakumpu. But they had to work night shifts, 2 weeks days, 2 weeks nights, and that would have messed up the band that Drew was managing and that I was singing in. So I turned that down and took that other job for half the pay, so we could stay on straight days and play shows at night.
So this was a cover band.
Yeah, pretty much.
Were you guys writing originals back then, doing original stuff, or
we were trying to.
Yeah.
When I auditioned, y'all were doing originals too.
Yeah.
That was fucking cool.
They just sucked.
Yeah, they were not good.
Yeah. We were the.
I can say that because I wrote them. They were not good.
Margaritas and meat and senoritas.
I was super into Jimmy Buffett at one point, and
Yeah, drinking margaritas, meeting senoritas. That was one of the first things.
So what changed and when? When did everything kind of like click?
There was never a click moment. Yeah, it's just a lot of decade of trial and error, you know, to figure out what works and what doesn't work.
Beating people over the head with it.
Still trying to figure it out, you know?
We are all just collectively dumb enough to just do this full time at the beginning, and then we just struggle check to check until.
We just kind of got dumber for a while.
Yeah.
And then
we were like, let's go do this out on the road somewhere. So we like loaded up I had a GMC Acadia. I bought with the rest of my tuition money, the extra you get back, and
you guys all fit in that?
Yeah, it was, and with a trailer, and we ended up driving through Oklahoma and Texas, and played to about probably 14 people total.
Oh, so you're used to this. This is like spacious for you then.
Oh, this is nothing, man.
Having a good time.
Yeah,
like home.
Yeah, this is. And Drew's been. Never mind.
Just keep what shit you about to
sell? Sell Block D, buddy.
So a group. A group as large as yourself, what's the writing process like? Are you guys all involved, input, trusting in a few of you? How's this go about?
So we got me and Matthew, who writes most of them, and just come up with the chorus, the lyrics, the melody, and the kind of bring the song to the band, and then we just kind of work it up from there. I mean, we'll spend all day just trying to get it together and make it sound good enough to present to people, you know.
Mm-hmm. After you write a song, like, are you ready to go record it, or do you sit on it? Like, how do you know when you're like, this is a really good verse, like, you know?
Well, there's a lot. If it gets stuck in my head enough, and I wrote it, and it gets stuck in my own head, I'm like, okay, this must be pretty good if I keep coming back to it. And I'll send it to him, and he's got to like it because he's got to sing it. So
yeah,
that's usually a pretty good gauge, too. And
Yeah, I pick what we play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great place to be.
I've got plenty of songs.
Yeah.
You usually just keep, like, spitballing stuff until, like, nobody hates any part of it.
Yeah, we just kind of like throw stuff at the wall until everybody's happy and nobody's like, this sucks.
That was good, Zach.
What would you guys classify your style as? I mean, it seems like going through, you know, your discography. I mean, you just dropped a new album, like literally what, last week? 2 weeks?
The album comes out on the 26th.
Or no, the 26th.
Yeah, we dropped some singles, though.
But it seems like it's got a good flow, but it's also kind of all over the place, which I love. But what would you guys say it is?
We just call it non-denominational rock and roll.
I love that.
Yeah. Non-dom rock.
You got to trademark that.
Non-dom rock. It's already trademarked.
Is it?
No, that, I don't know. Oh, no.
If anybody's watching, it's trademarked.
Yes.
Besides Jimmy Buffett, who are some influences?
Drew loves Dave Matthews.
Screw you, I like Dave Matthews. What's wrong with that? Heck, man.
Well, we're in the home of the Dave Matthews tour bus incident.
Yeah, that whole thing, yeah. All the poo-poo fell
Maybe
off
you
the
could
bridge.
Write a song about it.
Yeah, dude. So Dave Matthews is a true inspiration.
Yeah, shit from heaven or something. That'd be a beautiful song.
I mean, we all got different influences. I listen to a lot of old country now and R&B and kind of the new old country like Stapleton and like Sturgill and Tyler and all them, you know, they've been a pretty big influence, and like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I mean, everybody's got different stuff. So.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up for me too.
Very interesting. It's interesting too, like, because they say like with your voice, a lot of it, what you listen to when you're a kid, really you end up mimicking kind of. I mean, obviously it's a lot of it's just the voice you're given, but it's interesting to hear what singers grow up listening to, because it does influence a little bit the way you sing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it depends on who I'm listening to at the time, whether it's Ray Charles or Waylon or, you know, just whoever it is. I find myself kind of singing a little bit like them during our shows, you know, Chris Stapleton or Sturgill or whoever.
Do you guys have any, like, dream collaborations? And this is kind of two-parter, like, dream collaborations, but also, like, I know you guys are a little bit all over the place, non-dom.
Non-dom.
But anyone that's would be kind of a surprise or is totally different vibe than you guys that you would love to collaborate with?
Think of anything, Brandon?
Y'all were talking about Foo Fighters this morning.
We also went on an Oliver Tree kick for a little while too.
He's the fucking that was, he's the best.
He's fun to listen to.
I don't know about collaboration wise. I mean,
Dave Cobb.
Yeah, Dave Cobb. Oh wait. Man, I'd love to do a show with Sturgill. Or Stapleton. Yeah, like Stapleton. Really.
Sturgill's also the best.
Foo Fighters is like the one that they're like at the they're like top of the world still, you know.
You ever seen a guy who can go up there and scream for 3 hours and not lose his voice and then do it the next night and the next night? Really?
Yeah. Oh. We used to play 4 hour shows and he would not stop throughout the whole set.
Oh shit. That's pretty cool that you guys all just turned and pointed to him. That's like some high praise, man. All right.
It'd be like during our earlier days, we'd have a like New Year's Day, or the day before New Year's Day, we'd have a show that morning at Lulu's, 4 hour shows, and then a show during the evening, another 4 hour show, and then a show that night for New Year's Eve, 4 hour shows. It was like 12 hours of singing in one day.
Damn.
And I was like, yeah, we don't need to do this anymore.
And we did it. We did it for about $200. Total.
Not even a piece.
Not even a piece.
It was like 150 a man. Yeah.
Were those? So is Lulu's like kind of where you came up? Is that?
No.
What was your spot that you guys were playing? They believed in you before anybody else.
I mean, I'd say one big spot that helped us out before we started touring so heavily it was Floribama.
Great spot.
It's a tourist attraction, so it kind of brought the road to you.
Fun bar though.
Yeah, there's several bars there.
Crap pay, but fun bar.
And then Callahan's and Brickyard.
Shout out JT. And Noel.
And the Cedar Street Social Club. Those were all the places we played consistently while we were just, you know, in Mobile a lot of the time.
So what's it been like going from playing cover songs at, you know, party country bars to festival stages and, you know, big rooms? Big audiences.
You know, we started playing bigger rooms but nobody there. And the cool part was just to see, you know, more and more people starting to show up. And that's always there was, I mean, I don't know. We didn't really pay attention to it in the moment because you kind of have your nose to the grindstone working hard and not really paying attention to it. But when you stop and look back of just what we used to do compared to what we do now, it's like, man, it's like, man, we've come a long way.
Nothing short of a blessing.
And to add to that, are you done?
Yeah.
A lot of people think, I think just now because we're starting to get our name out there and attention that it was kind of overnight. We've been touring for about six, seven years. A lot of it was just driving ourselves in our old white bus and grinding it. It's a slow process from the beginning, just watching it grow. And yeah, new goals we set and just keep climbing until we're here now and we still got more goals to accomplish. We ain't done anything yet, so.
I love it. And you mentioned the name, and as a guy who loves trap shooting, how did the name come about?
That's not a very exciting story. When we started the band, we just kind of running under just simple names we came up with. When it was just me, Drew, and Brandon on stage before Drew started playing it, we were the Dirt Leg Trio, just to put something on a marquee to play a bar somewhere. And then we just started crap shooting names, and my brother came up with it one day and sent it to us, and we didn't like it. So it was one we just put out just to do some shows, and it just stuck. And
great.
you kind of make a name what it is instead of a name making you, you know. So it's like Michael Jordan in number 23. You know, 23 didn't mean anything, but he made that number into what it is. So
all right, dude, get Chicago reference, bro.
You're dropping them. Lou Malnati's, MJ. What else you
got? We're right next to the arena and everything.
We do have a Chicago story. Yeah. We actually came to a Cubs game one time. Okay. And
yeah. Y'all shared this video, by the way.
Y'all did. And
I'm so nervous right now because I used to work for the Cubs for a minute. I used to do all the audio there.
Oh, no, this is dope.
Oh, you got – so what happened?
I mean, so we were just – drinking beer and having a good time. So we started stacking up. Yeah, we were in the right field bleachers.
Best part of the park.
And we started stacking beer cups up pyramid. Just to see how
pyramid. The beer snake.
No.
Cup snake.
It's a pyramid.
Oh, the, are they the
pyramid? Pyramid. We'll have to find the video and show you after. Yeah. But okay.
Wait, so were you guys up by the bar in right field where they had the tables?
The bottom part of the bleachers.
What were you stacking them on?
On the seat in front of us.
Okay.
We just made this pyramid and everybody was bringing us their cups.
Okay.
And so we kind of had our whole section. Cubs are up by, I think, three. And so everybody's just kind of chilling,
everybody's
getting cups,
cups,
building it up. Everybody's having a good time waiting for a home run to hit it down or something. And the security guard came over, and we didn't know how big it was from the perspective
like,
of the
everybody
the
was sending
stadium.
Their cups down to us.
Yeah, we had thousands.
Like,
and
from, like, other sections, they were sending big cup snakes over.
And we had this thing just
– and so we didn't realize how – and when you're sitting there, it's not that big, but across the stadium, you can see this damn thing. So the security guard comes over and he says, y'all got to stop building this
he
thing.
Said, don't get any
he's,
higher.
Yeah, he said, don't build up any higher. It's a distraction.
Slow
we're like, everybody's having a great time. So Zach's like, all right, we'll build
Zach
it wider.
Was like, you know I can't stop, man. I
yes. So we keep going and more cups are coming and we're having a good time. And by this time, we didn't know, but the TV camera is on us. And here comes security guard man and just knocks it over.
Dude, the whole fucking
I'm about to put a cup on it.
And it knocks like there's like a little bit of beer left in these cups and just kind of hits these people in front of us. Felt bad for them, but the announcers all were against them and the stadium's booing.
The whole stadium wasn't even watching the baseball game anymore. The whole stadium just started erupting in booze.
So Barstool shared it during the game, and some people are coming up to us like, "Look, this is y'all." We just put our record out, our first record, and so we had a PR team, and we were just trying to – everybody scrambling, trying to get the name put on with it. Never happened.
Y'all should go back
so
and tag us
a,
in there.
There is
we
a
will.
Video. Yeah, there
we
is
will.
A video of
it's
us
way,
us there.
It's us.
Yeah, it's clearly us building this dumb thing.
Our guys will find it, clip it. We'll add it in on this interview. We'll
That'd
get
be
it back
awesome.
Up there.
It's great.
That's actually a huge controversy.
Oh, Juan's got it right there.
Oh, you got it.
Dude, you got it.
Put it on the microphone.
Turn
the volume back up.
Restart.
That's huge.
It's massive.
Dude, it's so awesome.
2 weeks ago tonight to really open this game.
You look so defeated. You look so defeated.
And that next day, we played at Joe's on Weed Street to about, I don't know, 40 people. Yeah. And we had tried to invite the security man.
But so how many years ago was this?
2022.
All right.
Let's get it back now. You guys should do it, like, have it be your thing. Like, everyone makes a
We don't drink as much beer as we used to get started, but.
The people in the crowd, though.
Yeah.
Everybody at that show was, they were making
beer
pyramids with their cans at the show because they seen the video.
You guys got a brand now.
Yeah.
If we would have got our name attached to that back then, it would have been awesome. But.
You got a brand. You guys were recently at Joe's too, right?
Last fall. Yeah,
little,
last fall.
Little different turnout.
Yeah, sold it out. Yeah,
I saw.
I think the next Forest is prop. I don't want to speak out of hand, but I think it might be the Salt Shed.
Awesome.
So
place.
That's a big jump. So
great spot. But Joe's is, I mean,
oh, it's iconic.
Legendary, legendary venue. I mean, the fact you guys came through there and sold out, you're here at Windy City. I mean, Ed, who books all the talent for both, is just world-renowned. Oh, such a great eye. I mean, he told me about you guys a few years ago. And anyone he mentions is basically on a rocket ship. He just calls it. And you guys have been, like, on absolute fire. We were talking about the upcoming album. What's the emotional state? You guys excited, nervous?
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty excited. We are pretty critical in our music, and we really love these songs. Yeah. So,
how many are on the album?
11.
Okay. How did that all come about, writing wise? Did you head up most of it?
No.
Do you have any input?
We had several songs ready to go that we presented, and then there was also a lot of just guessing and figuring out what we're going to do that day. You know, I'd be in a spare room looking through my notes trying to figure out what we were going to record that day. And so it was just a combination of both. and it just kind of became, it just took on the message of its own. You know, it really takes you down in the low places of these struggles that we all get into. I'm sure y'all have heard that in the singles we've released, but it also has a message of coming out of that and finding hope and getting through all of that and realizing you are made by those moments. And that's why the album's named what it is.
And I love that. Yeah. So that you'd say that's the overall theme of the album?
Yeah.
As a whole?
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome. What can we expect from your set today at Smokeout?
No idea.
No, I mean, you said earlier, I mean, you're going to be up there belting out for, what do you got, 45 minutes, I think?
50 minutes.
50 minutes?
Yeah.
Which is usually...
That's short for you, though.
Yeah, I hate short sets, man. But we're going to make the best of it. We usually just now start to get warmed up around that 45, 50-minute mark. So about the time we start feeling good, we got to get off stage. But we're going to try our best to just go out there on fire.
Yeah, we got that 3:55 slot, so it's going to be a little warm. Hopefully the sun's not setting in our faces. We've had that before, and it's pretty bad.
After a show, are you guys, like, just so juiced up, so excited, or you guys got to go to bed?
I think it's a little mixed bag.
Depends on what your instrument is.
Yeah. Fuck y'all, man. John likes to do his resting through the day, so after a show, he's wired, and the rest of us are like, I'm going to bed.
That was a joke towards Andrew.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You get off stage and like to sit up till 3 a.m.
I don't sit up till 3 a.m. on most nights.
Video games.
Because he plays bass. That was the joke.
He's only got four strings. Yeah. You don't have a lot to do.
Still get paid the same.
I'm pretty tired after shows. I got to go to sleep after.
What is it?
I'm pretty tired after shows. I usually am ready for bed afterward.
What's the secret to singing for, like, you said you were saying about New Year's Eve or whatever for so long? Do you think it's just that you're used? Yeah, drugs? Performance enhancing drugs?
No.
Are you on roids?
It's legal in our business.
Barry Bonds of singing?
No, you just... you got to get a lot of rest, and that's the biggest thing is sleep. Sleep, you know, your body repairs itself when you're resting and sleeping. So, that's why I don't really go out drinking or anything like that, because if I don't get any sleep, then I'm not going to be able to sing. And you know, we have people who pay money to come see us, and we're charging people money, and I can't even sing songs. You know, that's kind of ripping people off the way I see it. So, I just try to drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, and get as much rest as I can.
And your new nebulizer.
Yeah, and I got a vocal mist nebulizer. That's
nice.
It's pretty cool.
Testing
it looks
out.
Like Bane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just this massive.
A little get some steam.
Yeah, the mist is coming out the sides.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
I've
actually
used it twice so far, and I think it's working pretty well. So I'm gonna keep using it and see if it's a hoax or not.
What's it supposed to do? Like moisten your vocal cords?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a saline solution. Salt content and stuff, other things in it, but science stuff.
Full science.
I bet you that's what Grohl uses.
Probably. Maybe. It's supposed to, the way it was described to me is usually about that fourth song on the set. It's when you start to feel warmed up. It's like it lets you just walk out on stage already on your fourth song, you know, just feeling good and singing good.
So do you guys come right out and start ripping it right off the, I love that.
Yeah, why come out and...
Dude.
Yeah, as my dad would say, pussyfoot around, and we just come
that.
Out, we start, and we get it makes us comfortable, and then we can, you know, get into it.
I love that. So our videographer, we were talking before you guys showed up, and they only allow the video guys in the pit for the first three songs.
Not our video guy.
And he's like, well, your guy, yeah, your guy's your guy, but the media people. And he was like, man, it sucks when they come up and they play like all their down tempo, like low energy stuff, and then they finish with their high energy stuff because we only get them
first
standing
three songs.
There.
Yeah.
Our first three are fucking.
They're usually. Yeah.
I usually don't even talk in between the first three. Just roll right into them. Yeah. Break the ice.
So the first song that came across my radar from you guys, obviously, one probably everyone knows, Wondering Why.
Mm-hmm.
What was, first off, what's the genesis of that song? How did that come to be? And what was that like when that just exploded for you? Were you guys like, whoa? Or did you know ahead of time, like, we got a hit on our hands?
I don't think anybody knows. Anybody who says they know they have a hit is lying. I mean, I think Stapleton actually said that. Me and Drew and Dan Couch wrote that song in 2019, and we had a version recorded. and didn't put it out.
Yeah, so how long did you sit on that? Cause
well, then COVID hit.
Okay.
Stopped everything, and then we re-recorded it in 2021 where we did the album. And instead of just having it a single, we just put it out with the album.
What was different between the first version and
the first version was recorded similarly how Good Godly Woman was. If you've ever listened to Good Godly Woman, it's a little more production, a little more modern sounding. And then we recorded The Wondering Why that blew up. And it was it used to be the equipment in Muscle Shoals. And this guy, Noel Webster, he used to own Muscle Shoals. And he sold it and took all the equipment to his house. And it's like 1960s, I think it's a radar system.
No way.
So it's a lot of old mics, and that's the way. That's why that record sounds the way it does.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. There's a lot we wanted to do on that record that we didn't get to, but, you know, we just needed to get something out for our first record, you know,
yeah,
I think
we
it's...
been going around for 5 years and no fucking music
out. Yeah.
YouTube videos. Shit, still touring.
Yep. So I think it's a good record for our first one.
When it comes to deciding what to release, I mean, are you guys butting heads? You get
not really.
Butt heads a lot about really anything.
Is management like trying to steer you guys in a direction?
No.
Do you guys have total say?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We do what we want.
Yeah. We make the calls. I mean, that's the way it needs to be. I think it needs to be a perfect relationship between a art side and a business side, and they got to come together to get something done. And when your business side has the same goals as you do, you know, you're all working for the same thing. So they shoot ideas to us, and sometimes we like them and sometimes we don't. And if we don't like them, we don't do it.
Yeah. The beauty of it is saying no, we're in charge.
It's indie?
Actually, not anymore, but we signed with RCA this year, but it's like, I mean, we're
they
in
give
charge.
You guys, they give you guys a lot of freedom?
We have all the freedom.
That's amazing.
I mean, we went in not needing a record label because, I mean, that whole first record, Wonder Why on it, was doing just fine. So we kind of met with all these labels with that in mind, and we just told them this is how it's going to be. You know, we're not looking to sign. Why should we be with you guys? So we got a hell of a deal, and we're in charge. We own everything. So.
And that's the only reason we did sign is – really because we were self-sufficient, you know. We had tour buses at the time. We had the album done with Dave Cobb. We were, we were with 30 Tigers. And the only reason we decided to go with the label is because of the international demand that's starting to pop up and just, you know, needing that big of a team to help us stay on top of all that. So,
what's that been like, seeing people across seas and in different countries start to like listen to you guys and want you to come over and play shows over there? That's gonna be a wild feeling.
Yeah, definitely never expected it. Kind of just take it one day at a time, you know. We've always looked at it as if it happens, cool. If not, you know, just don't get your hopes up. When you get your hopes up, that's how you get your feelings hurt or you get bummed out. So we never got our hopes up about it, but now that it's happening, you know, we're thankful. And like I said, just take it one day at a time, get ready to do it.
Have you guys been outside the country yet?
I was just about to add to that. We first foreign dates is going to be in the UK this August.
Nice.
So we'll do Ireland, the UK, and then we have a festival out in Germany.
That's our first time. We were just talking with Corey Kent, and we were talking about the difference between British crowds and American crowds and how reverent and respectful they are. They sit there like, they're in a library and wait till you finish the song and then they go crazy.
How it probably should be. But there's good ones when it's just rowdy, like Ohio the other night or last night and the night before we did two nights in Columbus and they are rowdy.
It's the Wild West.
It is nuts. But then you go to places like New York and it's a little different attitude in the crowd. It's not as wild. They're just kind of there. Yeah.
So you guys like an energetic,
we feed
high energy crowd.
Yeah. We feed off of that. We don't know what Europe's got in store. So
what's your favorite show you guys have played to date?
One that sticks out.
Doesn't have to be the best.
Rabbit was cool. That was 4,500 people there. And they were all wild.
That was our first big ticket show in Asheville.
Asheville.
What is, like, you're saying you like that they're rowdy. Is there, like, too rowdy? Does it get too crazy?
Yeah.
Just like that festival we just played.
The one at Texas A&M, dude.
Nah.
I don't even remember that.
No, no, no. That was Lubbock.
That was Lubbock. What I'm talking about. We just did Lubbock, and yeah. It was so rowdy that.
In Lubbock?
Yeah. So the stage is like a country fest, like a smaller one. And there's a VIP section, and then the general admission crowd, which is all college kids. And they were throwing beers into the VIP section. Then one ended up on stage, and we're just like, all right, like, we got to get out. They've been
like
drinking.
Box wine,
it was BYOB. It's BYOB.
Somebody threw a tampon on stage.
Yeah. Used?
No. Oh. In the rap room. We could have shut the show down if it was used.
But if it was used, I mean, used is wild.
That's a showstopper.
That's better than a bra.
We're getting the hell out of here. Thanks. She ruined it. No,
that's
but
funny.
Yeah, it can get too rowdy for sure. It can take away from the show when these people out there slapping bags of wine. It's kind of cool to see, but they've been out there all morning, and we were later in the set, so they were trashed.
I love it.
But it's Texas Tech.
That's so funny.
I love it. I'm pumped to see you guys. I'm devastated. I was out of town at Mr. Joe's show, and then, you know, Ed was sending us videos. It looked like unbelievable, but you guys are going to have 15 times the amount of people out here today. Cannot thank you enough for stopping by. One more time, plug the new album. I know it's July 26th. What's the title?
It's Made by These Moments. It comes out on July 26th.
Beautiful. And it's going to be on all streaming?
Yep, everything.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Red Clay Strays, Barstool Backstage. Good luck today, guys.
Thank you,
brother.
Awesome.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, congratulations on everything.
Sure, appreciate you guys.
It's amazing.
I've been chugging Topo Chico's all camp.